Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
It's so good to be back again. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come back. Actually, I just wanted to correct that introduction a little bit. World Harvest Foundation was started before I was a children pastor of Church of Our Savior's Children. Actually, I was already doing a ministry in Thailand. And 2 years into it, one day God told me, pack your bags and go back to Singapore. And I didn't know why. All right, so I came back with the foundation still running, Thai staff running the place. And then I came back, and when I came back, my husband asked me, what are we going to do in Singapore? I said, I don't know. God just told me to come back by December this year, and I came. And there was later that Pastor Derek approached me whether I would pastor the children in Church of Our Savior. I signed a contract for 2 years, and that was after 2 years, the Lord spoke to me again, go back. And actually, this is part of my sermon today about listening to the Holy Spirit. All right. Of course, then I didn't quite figure it out. Sometimes God tells you things and it didn't quite add up together. Why would you tell me to start a foundation in Thailand and then come and pastor a church in Singapore, children in Singapore? And actually, I remember when Pastor Derek approached me whether I would pastor the children in, he said, you take out all the children of the world. Can you just come and help our children for a while? I said, okay, please give me 2 weeks to pray about it. I went home, I told Mike, and then I went to the kitchen to make my Milo. And as I was making my Milo, I said, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Should I accept this invitation? And I heard the word, yes. Then I went back to, I told Mike, Holy Spirit said, yes, I can be the children pastor of Church of Our Savior. He said, I thought you will pray for it for 2 weeks. I said, yeah, but Holy Spirit already said yes. I didn't need to pray for 2 weeks. All right. So, and then now, after so many years, I realized why the Lord wanted me to come back. Many of the people journeying with me and with Mike and our foundation, most of them are children, that I have helped in Church of Our Savior, worked with in Church of Our Savior, and their families. So it was God's idea. You know, and God put it together, and so often we do not understand how this all will work out. But I want to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to serve with all of you. And let me show the slide, please. Yeah, I want to say thank you from World Harvest Foundation, Khon Kaen, Thailand. This foundation has been in operation for more than 12 years. And I started this actually even before I met Mike. And I started this after Jerry passed away in 2000. He passed away in 2003, and I started this foundation in September 2004. All right. So God has been very gracious to us. We are situated right now in the northeast of Thailand. That's the green section on the map. And northeast Thailand is an unreached people group of 22 million people. All right. Most of them speak Isan, which is their language, very much like Laotians. And Khon Kaen is located right in the central region, all right, in this region. And it is the poorest region and the least evangelized region in Thailand. And God called us there. And Khon Kaen actually now is almost like the default capital of this region. Is an educational center. It has big universities with thousands of students. It is also the commercial hub now of this region. We are not really, really in the ulu, right? We have Starbucks, McDonald's, KFCs. If that's the way they define a civilization. And so we are not really that. I mean, we are thinking of a little town like Malacca. Yeah, Khon Kaen will be a bit like that. All right. And before I begin today's sermon, which is very much on my heart, I would like to give you an accountability report of what has happened since last year. God has showed me and taught me that one action can create a destiny. All right? And actually what happened was almost 3 years ago, God continued to show me a vision of a bus, a picture of a bus. I pray I see this bus, white bus with the slogan, with the logo, Heaven in the Home, which is the name of a ministry with families that I was doing then in Thailand. And my husband was kind of worried, Dorothy, you want to start another ministry? You know? But then it became obvious, I have shared with you last year, that our slum community was facing a relocation, and that had already happened. But last year, January 2016, when I spoke here, due to all your generosity and your giving, we collected enough money to buy a bus. All right? Remember we talked about the bus? And I really want to say thank you. I don't have enough words to express my gratitude, especially on behalf of our foundation and all the lives that will be touched through this bus. I also want to show you this bus now. You see the picture of the bus? This is the bus. Looks really nice, right? It looked almost like one of those medical mobile clinic that our Thai government has where they go around. And this bus, when it arrived, we were like, wow. It took us months, okay, to design it and have it done. We found the guy to do it and had it ordered in April. And but when the bus arrived, when I look at the bus, I must confess to you that I was a little bit like, God, why do we need such a nice bus? You know, the bus was almost too posh, you know, and it was outstanding. And I didn't understand until a couple of weeks later. What happened was we were, before we can go into a village, we will actually have to call the village chief and say for permission. This is really Thai culture. You don't just go into anybody's house or backyard. You have to ask permission. You ask the village chief whether we can go to their village and then work with their villagers. So in this particular case, we thought we will work with a church that was really trying to pioneer a work in the village. They've been there about 2 months already, so we connected with them. Called the village head. The village head wasn't very enthusiastic. He said, well, you can come. You can use this courtyard here. You know, you can park your bus here and do your stuff. But it's really, our advanced team went to look at the place. They said, the place is full of potholes, you know. And we don't see how we can even park the bus and do the thing there. But we said, well, if there's will, there's a way. We'll bring in gravel and sand and fill all the potholes for them. And then we will be able to park our bus there. But then what happened was, on the actual day, it rained cats and dogs. So even if you fill the potholes, we won't be able to use the place. So we sent our advance team again and went to talk to the village chief. And the village chief said, okay. He showed us the front porch of his community hall. And the front porch was about this size. You know, and we were bringing in a team as well of from another country with about 22 people. And plus ourselves and plus the children. You know, there was no way we could use a front porch, you know. So we said, never mind. God will provide, you know. So what happened was, it was raining. Our bus drove in. And the village chief looked at the bus. His mouth opened. He turned around. And he opened up all the shutters of his community hall, the metal shutters, and welcomed us into his whole, allowed us to use all his facilities in his community hall. And the church group that went with us was kind of shocked. They said, you know, we have been here 2 months. He didn't even show us the inside of the community hall, you know. But how come you all just came in like that and he opened up everything? And in my spirit, I knew then that God knew what to do, all right? God has given us a key to open doors in all the villages. And since then, up to December last year, we have visited 16 villages, all right? And in most some villages, we actually will park ourselves there for about 4 days, from morning to evening, to interview families. The village chief will give us the records of all the families in the households in their village. You know, and then we will actually issue queue numbers, and then the different household will come for us to do our community survey. And this bus, inside the bus are two counseling rooms, whereby we can actually have a chance, let's say, share with us your problems and all, the time for counseling, for prayers, and for ministry as well. So God has been really good. He has provided us the key, and you all were part of it. All right. You were the one action. You know, the ripple effect. and the lives that we can bless. But more than that, I must confess too that when God gave me the idea of a bus, I didn't have like, you know, a lot of us now work in modern day, you must have a mission statement and then you have all your strategies worked out. I must confess, I don't have that. All I have was a picture from God. So when the bus is ready, everybody kept asking me, so what's your long-term plan? What are you going to do about it? And I was like, God, I need a word from you, all right? And one morning at 3 a.m., the Lord woke me up to talk to me. And he told me about the story in the Bible about the shepherd that left the 99 sheep to look for the one lost sheep. And the Lord said to me, do you know that there are less than 1% Christian in Thailand? There are 99 lost sheep out there. Will you leave the one and look for the 99? So ever since then, we have called our bus project within in our foundation, we call it Project 99. All right? We know that the bus has a very important focus of reaching the 99 that are still outside the fold. The lady you see at the door, her name is Jep. She's a very powerful lady, all right? This lady here fasts like 40 days very easily every year, all right? She leads our Dream Center ministry, and she's championing the bus ministry as well. And I just continue to ask all of you for your prayer for our ministry here, especially for this lady. This ministry now, it will be a totally Thai-led ministry. I am actually working into succession, all right? So this lady is now the one who is going to lead, and the Thai team will also be following through with this. Right. I'd like to show you a short video following up from where I left off last year of what we have been doing now in our foundation.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
That's Alicia. That's Mike with the children. It's our village children. Cool teams giving out warm clothing. This is Boys Brigade from Singapore. This is our youth from the youth services. These are family camps, mostly from youth and a few from other churches. This is the Thai slum community that we have known for more than 10 years. This is what it looks like today. The homes are gone. Many of our children and families are not with us anymore. This is a learning center that we have started in May 2016. That's Mike teaching the children. These are the precious 11 children now who are with us that we actually meet 5 days a week from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Right, these children, some of them have been with us since they were very young, right, since kindergarten. But we have now begun, beside the bus is rolling on already. We have now begun a new ministry called Harvest Learning Center. And everybody is saying, oh, don't, Dorothy started something new again. All right. But this is really something from the Lord. For more than 10 years, we have been raising funds to sponsor children to go to Thai schools. And it was only lately that we realized that our children were not getting what they deserve. And school term starts in May 2001, every May of the year. And last year we had a situation where one little girl came and then the parents came and talked to us that whether we could start a school for their kids, all right? One of the little girls in the picture, she actually said, why do I want to go to school? My teacher do nothing but tell me ghost stories. And my friends will not play with me if I do not play handphones with them. So she was miserable in school. And then we realized, what are we doing? raising money to send children to schools they don't want to go to. All right, and it was actually upon much research that Mike came up with the idea of doing the ACE school curriculum, and that's where we have started. I'm going to show you the next slide, where the verse that God gave me from Psalm 113, 7 and 8. He said, "He lifts the poor out of the dirt and rescues beggars from the garbage dump. He puts them in important positions, giving them a place among the leaders of his people." This was a verse the Lord gave me when I was struggling with, God, a school. You know, a lot of projects I start quite easily, but I know a school is not something you can start and stop. All right? You start out, when you go distribute food, not a good idea. You just stop. But you can't do that with schools. And having done education before in childcare in Bangkok, before in Christchurch, I decided, God, I cannot do school. I'm too old to do a school. You know, things like that. And the Lord gave me this verse. And I had to repent that actually for years and years doing the slum ministry, all I wanted to do was just to ensure that the children do not get into drugs, do not get into trouble, and do not get into prostitution. So I was happy as long as they were going to school and, you know, they were safe. But the Lord was saying to me, no, you have to disciple them, all right, and make them world changers. And so it was on that note, with this verse jumping out from the Bible that morning as I was asking the Lord this question, because amongst our children, one of them, their mother is a garbage collector. So we are really picking children up from the garbage dumps. And I also was reminded by the Lord that many years ago, when I was doing carpet time here during one of the conferences in Coos, the Lord showed me a circular room. And this room has no walls. This room was made up totally of doors. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, what's the whole point of giving me so many doors? You know, I can only enter through one door. And the Lord said, no. Who said you have to go through the doors? I made you a doorkeeper. And it was then that I realized, as in Mark 13:35, you know, when the story about the master who, when he was about to go away, he left jobs and chores for his duties for his servants. But he told the doorkeeper to be watchful and to be alert. And God said, you are just the doorman. All right. So I began to realize that was my mission. I am just a doorkeeper. But when I was younger, I didn't understand. That's what my whole message is about today too. You need to understand what is God's purpose for your life. What is your destiny? Right? And because before I understood that, I always felt very guilty when I start a new work. And after 1 or 2 years, I passed it on. And I was always accused of having no staying power. You know, you do something, you have to see it right through. How can you start and then you pass on? All right. Now I don't feel guilty about it. All right. But I want to say God has an assignment for all of us, and all of us have a task to fulfill. All of us have a destiny. So I want to thank God for this center that's coming up. And Mike is here today at the booth. If you'd like to find out more about the school, you can talk to him. And these are our children that I'd like to show you. Now we have actually 11 children. Mike is the principal of this learning center, and we have 3 volunteers, 3 full-time volunteers, all right? 2 are from Singapore. Amongst them, you will recognize, if you look at the picture, the little sweet girl just in front of Mike, all right? That's Alicia, all right? She comes from the youth service of KUS, youth department, and she's doing a gap year. She forgo all the openings of university. She was accepted, all right? It's not that she couldn't go to university, but she decided to do a gap year with us to serve, all right? And I believe she's getting one of the best education. She has grown so much throughout the year. And then we have a girl from the Philippines, and also another girl from, the girl in long hair. If you can see the girl in long hair. Yeah, that's a girl also from Singapore. She says, Auntie Dorothy, I'm here to stay for a long, long time. Okay. So I want to thank God for these people who are there to help us disciple the children. And Mike's dream is to produce the best translators in Thailand. All right. So now our kids, just after 8 months, many of them are beginning to speak English. Please understand that they do not come from English-speaking families. So now our bus ministry is kind of run by the Thai, but our learning center has still continue have to be supported by the foreigners, and many of our volunteers here raise their own funds to support themselves. I was reminded that we need, because it's a school. I remember when I was in RGS many umpteen years ago as a kid, my principal was a British lady. My literature teacher was from England. Alright, and we had some local teachers teaching us too, and I believe they were all understudying the foreigners that were coming to teach us. And today, RGS is fully run by locals. Alright, so as I remembered those days, I can say, this can be done in Thailand as well. Alright, if for the next 10 years or so, we continue to teach these children and make them proficient in the language and in their subjects and all, they will be leading the next generation of Thais. We don't need to continue to stay. Actually, mission is all about releasing. And this is where I like to speak to all of us here. I know many of you are children. You know, the Bible in Psalm 127 tells us that the children are like arrows. All right? And what do we do with arrows? We polish them, you know, we want to use them for battle. But an arrow is no use until you release it. So God has given many of us children to be released into the nations. Don't get upset when your kid kind of tell you and say, Mommy, I think God has called me to the nations. Huh? Many of us have this concept, you raise your children to stay with you. But you raise your children to release them. Alright? And God has taught me through to the years to love deeply, but hold on lightly. Alright? Love your children, love your disciples, love your church members. Love them deeply, but hold on lightly. Because they all belong to the kingdom of God. And so I pray that all these children that we are raising, that they too will be released. Not that they have to stay on and just run our center. Who knows, they'll be released to all over Indochina, all over the regions. Alright? So I just believe that there is a process in which God will continue to use us. And each one of us need to be fully aware of what God is doing. And I'm talking quite a lot about the learning center because after that I'm going to preach a sermon, so I don't want to talk much about it anymore. But God has been very, very good. He has brought everything together. Actually, we were using this piece of land. Remember last year I talked about we bought a piece of land and we were growing rice and raising chickens and things like that. But now our goal is to build a school on this piece of land so that the school will be in the midst of the harvest field. And God actually had brought me volunteers. People have volunteered to help. Last year I met an engineer who volunteered. He said, I have retired, all right, but I can help you. Okay, so this is a Singapore engineer. And more than that, though, actually one thing I told God is, God, I cannot start building unless you give me a guy, someone who knows about building. Having lived in Thailand long enough, I know that unless you are there physically to watch, right? I have a friend who took over a English language center. When he went in, everything looked so nice. There was a sink, there was the plugs and everything. But he said when he opened the cabinet below the sink, there were no pipes. And then when he looked at the socket, there was a plug, but there was no wiring beneath. All right? So you can have the look, the facade, but all the stuff cannot be seen. You have to stand there physically and ensure that it's done. So I said, God, I need a real foreman, you know, on the ground. And I want a guy from Singapore. Because I don't know any other guy in Thailand that I can trust. So I said, I need a guy from Singapore. Alright? And everybody thought I was dreaming. Alright? But lo and behold, the Lord did it. And tomorrow this couple will be flying to Thailand, right? God sent me a couple. Ah, they're right there. Can you stand, please, Casey and Jenny? The physical proof. Thank you very much. When Casey came and told me that God spoke to him 2 years ago, you know, that he has something for him to do in Thailand. He didn't know what it was. And he, long story short, he went to visit us in Khon Kaen. But in my heart, I was thinking, aiya. Because he said he has been a foreman in Singapore. He has overseen even the building of the MRT and all that. And so I said, great. But what about speaking in Thai and looking overseeing Thai workers? But when he went to Thailand, I heard him speaking Thai. And I was like, wow, you can speak Thai? He said, yeah, for the last 10 years, I've been supervising Thai workers in Singapore. I mean, God is so great, all right? And just 2 days ago, we had a meeting with Casey, and now I don't even have only not only one, I have two engineers who volunteered that they will help. And but then as we were talking, they said to me, Dorothy, how do you want the building to look like? We can do all the, you know, the engineer part. I said, oh, you mean I have to decide? He said, yeah, you know, if not, you got to find an architect, you know. So yesterday morning, before I came here to preach, I was saying, God, I still need an architect. So, do you know what happened yesterday after I finished the 3:30 service? There was this man here standing in a queue, and then he came up to me, he gave me his card, and he said, Dorothy, and you know, yesterday I didn't talk about needing an architect. I only told God I needed an architect. He came up to me, gave me his card, and he said, Dorothy, I think I can help you. I'm an architect. And more than that, he said, I have built schools in Singapore, and I know how to do school buildings for organic farming. I can do grain harvesting. I can do biogas. I can do everything that you will need. And I'm ready to help you. I will go to Thailand and see your work. I was like, this is God. All right. And so now, the two engineers spoke to me 2-3 days ago. They said, Dorothy, now you're only short of one thing. He said, you need 3.5 million Singapore dollar. Then I was thinking, God, that shouldn't be a problem because you have done all that, all right? So this morning I was asking God, God, everything is in place except 3.5 million dollars. How? And God said, don't worry. And the Lord brought to my mind this verse, you know, that in the day of power, people will volunteer freely. Alright, like we see in the book of Acts, when the Pentecost came, people were selling their properties and doing this. Because the Holy Spirit came in the day of power, people will volunteer. And the Lord said to me, actually, the building is already paid for. But I said, where's the money? And the Lord said, it's all in the bank accounts of all the people you will speak to this morning. Yeah. He said, tell them, when you help to the poor, when you help the poor, you lend to the Lord. When you put the money in the bank, you lend to the bank. Yeah, you give your bank money to invest in Korea, in China, in everywhere. Now will you put your money instead of in the bank to invest in Korea and China and other places? Will you give your money and lend it to the Lord to invest in His kingdom? And you know what it means really to invest in education. The Lord reminded this morning that in year 1997, when there was a financial crisis, in Thailand, the Lord prompted me to start a child care center. It's called the Rainbow Land Child Development Center. And at that time, I needed 120,000 Singapore dollar. All right. A friend helped me raise it. Up to today, this child care center has been running. It has our branches in several provinces. And God is using this child care. It was some people who were willing to lend 120,000 to God's kingdom. And collect your principal and interest in heaven. All right, when you go there. I bet you it will multiply manifold. All right. But actually you won't care for it really when you go to heaven because you'll be walking on the streets of gold. All right. So if you have gold that will be used for the streets of heaven, would you invest in God's kingdom? All right. So may the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning as I preach. And I pray and believe, I really believe God. God, last year you gave me a bus. This year will you give us a school? All right? So that we can truly, truly touch the lives of the children. Please visit us at the booth because I will not tell you much about it after. Please visit us at the booth after the service. And if you have already a pledge form or a donation form, please fill in. Fill in the number the Holy Spirit tells you, all right? Okay, and don't debate further. I will show you how we debate afterward. Okay, and if not, just drop something into the box. And if all else fails, and you say, "Ah, Dorothy, I just need to relax and talk to somebody," we have free tamarind candies at our booth that you can go and enjoy while stock lasts. All right, just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you won't go wrong. All right, I'm really believing God that He's going to move, and we're really going to go to the nations, and all of you are going to go to the nations with me. All right, okay. Thank you very much for being so patient and listening to all my talk about the school. Now I want to lead us on to today's sermon, which is about aligning our spirit, soul, and body to our kingdom destiny. Now that's the thing that I'm really excited about, because for many years I've always wondered why Christians struggle so hard to know God's will. And I always have people coming up to me, "Auntie Dorothy, do you think it is God's will for me to do this, do that, you know?" And they want to hear it from somebody else. And it's, you need confirmation. It is true God give us, you know, safety in the midst of counselors. But at the same time, surely there is more than this, all right? And I've seen many of my friends struggle, all right? We grew up together and we have great plans. And at the end of, now we are in the 60s, they all say, "Dorothy, do you think we opted for plan B, plan C instead of plan A? How come we don't feel that we have accomplished God's destiny in our life?" So today I want to explore with you some of the issues that are at hand. Can we see the next slide? It's about our God is three in one. Okay, I teach children, so pardon me when I talk to you like it's to your children. But Bible says, unless you be like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, you know, we have one finger, and this finger has three pieces of bones. All right? But it is still one finger. Just like our God who is three in one. All right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are created in His image. So we are actually, we have a three in one in us. All right? And that three in one is actually very part of us. But many of us just notice our body, all right? And in this verse, Ephesians, in 3:14-15, it says, "Before, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So we carry God's name. We carry God's image. All right. I just went to Sydney to visit my daughter who had just given birth to a lovely boy. And everybody who came to visit looked at the boy and said, "No, it's the eyes like the father and the mouth like the mother, you know, the nose like the grandpa," or whatever people say. Everybody was looking for the image of the parents. So that's to make sure it's your kid, you know. And very often, sometimes people say, "What do you want to be a Christian?" That person says he's a Christian, but he doesn't act like, you know, like a Christian. And then we say, "No, that's not a very sound argument, because God is God, but I'm not God." Yes, we are not God, but we carry His image. We carry His name. And therefore, it is possible. I believe God doesn't demand that of us if it's not possible. It is possible for us to carry God's presence and God's image wherever we go. Right, next slide, I'll show you this verse from Ephesians 3:16 says, "And I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." It means that our human spirit is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word human spirit is not very much talked about these days, all right, because we're also scientific. You can't see the spirit. But we have a human spirit, all right, and God empowers our human spirit, strengthen our human spirit. And I believe this is what God is doing every day and wants to do every day. And the next slide, spirit to spirit. This is a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So, we need to be born into God's kingdom. And it is the Holy Spirit connecting with our human spirit that helps us to enter into the kingdom. I came to Christ at 14 years old. So prior to that, I have a human spirit, but my human spirit was not empowered by God's spirit. In fact, because my family was very much in idolatry and witchcraft and all, my spirit was empowered by another form of spirit. But now that we have entered into God's kingdom, our spirit, therefore, is connected with the Holy Spirit. And if we continue to let Him empower us, you will see amazing things. Actually, if you study into Ephesians 3, you will see God promised us a lot of other stuff. All right? And in John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Okay, Romans 8:14. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So I want to propose to us that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. All right? In the Old Testament, what happened? God's presence was seen by fire and by cloud. All right? And in the Holy of Holies, you know, the tabernacle, where only the high priest can enter once a year. What happened today? Since the death of Jesus on the cross, that veil has been torn. More than 2,000 years ago. All right? And now through the Holy Spirit, He lives and tabernacle within us. We who are all called by His name, we carry His presence. You don't have to go to the tabernacle, the presence. You don't have to look for the cloud and the fire. Now what people look for? They look for God in you and in me. So we can carry His image. We can bring His presence everywhere we go. The next slide shows, it's about spirit, soul, and body. "Now may the God of peace," this is in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse actually tells us very clearly that God is very interested in our spirit, soul, and body. Most of us actually say body, soul, and spirit, right? Because every day we wake up, we take care of our body. All right, you shower, you dress up, you eat, you do stuff like that. Why? We're taking care of our body. All right? So I want to actually bring us further on. So be patient with me and walk with me as we discover more about spirit, soul, and body. The next verse that I'm showing all these verses because I know I'm talking about some things that most people do not kind of venture in very much. Except maybe those who do inner healing ministries and others. All right. So as we look at Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, and of both joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now, God's word is super important. And I must confess, for years and years when I read this verse, memorized this verse, I thought of God's word as in the 66 books of the Bible. Right? Most of us, right? So you tell people to memorize the Bible because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that was my belief system. So, and if you go to the Greek, the word there is logos. But it just dawned on me about a month ago. The Word of God here, is it really the 66 books of the Bible? The 66 books of the Bible came about only the canon that we all talk about, you know, the 66 books of the Bible that was convoked by Emperor Constantine the First, actually came about in the year AD 325. And the book of Hebrews was written around the year AD 80. So all the readers of Hebrews do not have 66 books of the Bible. They may have the Old Testament. They may go to the temple, you know, when they want to read for the big scroll. But they do not have the 66 books of the Bible. Okay? Now everybody's like, now Dorothy, you're treading on dangerous ground. Okay. And I want to tell you, I believe in the 66 books of the Bible. I read the 66 books of the Bible right through last year when I gave all of you the invitation to join me in Read My Paper Bible Challenge. All right? About 120 out of you actually did it. Went on a WhatsApp chat with me, and you know, and where you are in your progress. Some of you actually messaged me at the end of in December and said, "Dan, I read my 66 books of the Bible." Some say I'm halfway, some say I'm quarter way. But I praise God for all of us who wants to continue to read our paper Bible. All right, and in the paper Bible, the Word of God is there. But why am I saying this? I believe that this verse is talking about Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit. All right? And if you look carefully, you will see it says the Word of God is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Yesterday morning, the Lord said to me, read the whole book of Hebrews. And if you really read the book of Hebrews, you know that the book of Hebrews was talking about the supremacy of Christ, the superiority of Christ over the old covenant, over the Levitical high priest, because Jesus Christ has come. All right? It's a new day, a new order. And we're talking here up. And Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And right now, all of us have that. We all have the Word of God. As in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So this Word of God is Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit living in us, sharper, active. It can be active all the time. The Holy Spirit is active, all right, in us and working to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrows, thoughts and intention. So every day when we walk around, when we think, when we have a lot of issues in our head, invite the Holy Spirit to minister to your human spirit, not just your soul, but to your, notice what is soul, what is spirit, and let God do His work in us. And I want to show you another a very interesting quote from a lady called Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a Christian cognitive neuroscientist with a PhD in communication pathology, specializing in neuropsychology. All right, I'm making this quote because many people nowadays, if you want to say anything from the Bible, they say, yeah, but it doesn't match science. Now, science is finding out that they are far behind, and God has made this revelation to this Christian neuroscientist. And this is what she said. She says, our triune nature is divided into three components. Your spirit is your true you, or what I call your perfectly you. The spirit has three parts. Intuition, conscience, and communion. Communion meaning your worship, your communication with God. Your soul, which is your mind, also has three parts. Intellect, will, and emotions. Lastly, your body has three parts. The ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm. That's quite a mouthful. I will explain that in simpler terms afterward. From which the brain and the body form. All right? So there is scientific evidence that we are really three in one, created in the image of God. Now, go online and find this lady. She's amazing, all right? She tells you, she teaches you the Bible. She teaches you how to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. All scientifically done, all right? She has even a program to help you detox your brain in 21 days. She will be your personal coach, teaching you how to do it. All right. I have joined this program for more than a year and I find it amazing. Okay. Now I'm going to invite three ladies to come forward and help me in my illustration of my sermon, about the body parts. Body parts. Okay. The three parts that we have, body, soul, and spirit. These are all ladies who have visited me, in Thailand. They heard my teaching when I teach the kids, you know, so they understand. Can I have the spirit first? Spirit, soul, and body, all right? Okay. If we look at the slide, maybe the, okay, never mind. Okay, this is the spirit. Okay, the spirit, our spirit has the part that is communion, conscience, and intuition. All right. So as you are, when you came to church this morning, when you were worshiping, very often you hear God speaking to you in your spirit. All right. And he was communicating. Maybe he was reminding you just now before you entered the church, you had not a very nice moment. Maybe you snapped at your wife or your wife snapped at you or whatever, you know, and you were worshiping. Your conscience didn't feel very good. Yeah. Maybe I should just turn over and say, I'm sorry, darling. Okay. But we struggle, right? But the Holy Spirit is telling you something, all right? And then there are times he tells you he will take care of you. And that is your intuition. Maybe you're having financial difficulty. But deep inside, you have this intuition, this knowledge that God will take care of you. All right? So that is spirit. Okay. Now can I have the soul? Okay. This is the soul. Our soul has mind, emotions, and will. All right? And as you are hearing me teach now, you say, I wonder what Dorothy is talking. You know, is it theological? Is it making sense? That's your mind working, all right? And then your emotions get a bit stressed sometimes, you know, this one's a bit, maybe a bit spooky, you know, or whatever it is. And your emotions get affected. If your emotions is a bit stressed and you're not very sure, then your will get affected. You say, I better switch off and not listen to what she's saying already. Right? So your emotion. Or you say, this is something interesting, your thoughts. This is something interesting. You know, and you feel quite happy about it. You say, okay, I will continue to listen. So your will decides what you do, all right? Okay. And then the next is our body. We have the body, and the body part, can you see the slide? Okay, we have our bone structure, our flesh, and our blood. You know, God is amazing. Eh? He gave us all these skeletal frames that we have all joined together, the joints, the ligaments, and everything. And He even made our body produce this jelly-type substance that lubricate our body. All right? All the world can create all kinds of machineries, but you always have to have somebody put in oil and lubrication and all that. But God has done it. And God created our body in such a fantastic way that you can eat food. And then the food will digest and then bring nourishment to your tissues, your muscles, your blood. So this is God. He created us three in one. And this is our body. And our body very... I know most of us know a lot about body, right? We take very good care of our body. And then, can I show this next slide first? Okay, can you line up spirit, soul, and body? Spirit, soul, and body. All right. So spirit, soul, and body, very often we get kind of confused. And this is how God made us, spirit, soul, and body. But then in real life, very often what happened? We actually don't let our spirit lead. All right. We actually let our, sometimes we let our body lead. Can body come? Okay. I want to show you an example that happened to me last year. I was supposed to tell this story about how God told me to sell my flat in Singapore to help pay for the shortfall of the land. But I didn't do it because I didn't want people, I don't want people to think that I'm boasting, so I don't tell. All right. I only told at last service. My team outside there after that told me, you know, Dorothy, the last service had the best collection. Okay? And I realized because I disobeyed God. So today I'm going to tell you the struggle that went into my system, alright? Body, soul, and spirit. Yeah. Assuming my body was in control. When God told me to sell my flat, I said, my body is in Thailand. How to sell flat in Thailand? And then the mind agree, right? The soul, the thought agree. Yeah. You're in Thailand. You cannot sell your flat. Just work a bit harder. Raise more funds. You don't have to sell your flat. Okay? So the body does that. And then the spirit actually heard God already saying, this is time to sell your flat. You agree, your husband, before you all signed a contract for the land, that if you cannot pay up, you will sell your Singapore flat. So how? The emotions. Yeah, my flat. What happened? Next time I got no house to live in and grow old. Huh? And the body? Yeah, I agree. Very important to have a house to live in, you know. So body didn't budge. And if, sorry, I can, okay. And very often, sometimes the soul takes predominance. Okay, the soul is the body. Okay, the soul very often, what happened? The soul has all thoughts, all the emotions. Wow, sell flat. My friend told me, my flat is my golden goose. They lay the golden eggs. Cannot sell my flat. If I sell my flat, I'll be in trouble. All right? So, again, your thoughts, your emotions get involved. And the will, not going to do it. All right? And the thought went on. You know, that what the boy said, in Thailand, cannot sell. So, I cannot sell flat. Very happy. The emotion became very happy. I cannot sell. I will just raise money harder. And the spirit all this time knew already there was an agreement with God, and this was God's leading. But I'm not going to do it because the soul was leading. And very often, and today even as you walk out, as you debate how much to give to God's kingdom, very often the soul take over. All right, I will take care of my family. I have to do this. I have to do that. The soul is very often the reason why we cannot fulfill God's destiny in our life. All right? But what happens when the spirit leads? Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit heard from God. Time to sell your Singapore flat. Of course, the soul will still be very active and say, "Ayah, but what about the fact that this is your golden egg and your golden goose? The goose that lays the golden egg." The spirit is in control, and spirit says, but my God shall supply for all my needs according to his riches in glory. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Why can't he supply for all my needs? All right, thank God for Mike who said it to me. You know, if we think that we're going to depend on our bank account to survive to the end of our life here, we must not follow Jesus. Okay? Our spirit tells us God will take care of us. And our soul, if our soul is in agreement with the spirit, your soul will follow through. Instead of arguing with the spirit, the soul submit to the spirit. Yes, God will take care of the thoughts. Your emotion begin to flow in line. Peace comes because you know you're obeying Christ. You are taking captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. As your spirit hears from God, and then the spirit instruct your soul and your body. And then the soul start to help the spirit to think. Oh yeah, you're in Thailand, but you can appoint a power of attorney. You can sell a flat. You don't have to go back to Singapore to sell a flat. Appoint a power of attorney. The spirit and the soul agrees, and the body takes action. I will go call, find an agent, appoint a power of attorney, and the flat is sold. Okay, thank you very much. And these are the battles that go on in our lives most of the time. So I want to propose to us that we must strengthen our spirit. So often we strengthen our soul, alright? You have some doubts and you go and ask people, should I do this? You already heard from the spirit, alright? And this happens every day. This morning, I was thinking whether I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, wear your Thai dress. I was thinking, I'm going to ask my husband, do I look pretty in my Thai dress or not? Before I did that, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, I already told you, why do you have to go ask your husband whether you look nice in a Thai dress? You know what I mean? Because we just need people to kind of, and then sometimes, what happened if my husband said, no, that's not so nice, wear another one. But Holy Spirit tell me to wear my Thai dress. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to say, listen to the Holy Spirit, alright? And I'm going to share with you 1 Corinthians 14:13-15. It says, therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my spirit is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray that with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. So when you actually pray in the spirit, all right, your spirit, when you pray, many of us speak in tongues, right? Some of us did it maybe 10 years ago and we've forgotten all about it. But actually, speak in tongues, all right? And you will actually see the strengthening in your spirit. Let's go on to the next verse. I know time is running out on me. Praying with the spirit and with the mind. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. This verse has always been used to say, therefore you must prophesy, edify the church. So speaking in tongues is not important. But this verse actually says, speaking in tongues edifies yourself. So speaking in tongues is a secret to building your spirit. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. And imagine if you want to communicate with God, you know, speaking English or your own Japanese or Mandarin, whatever, but you want to speak the Holy Spirit's language, all right? I go to Thailand, I've been there for more than 26 years, I speak Thai. Now, วันนี้เราอยากจะให้พระเยซูทรงสถิตอยู่กับเรา Today we want to have Christ be with us. พระเยซูทรงเป็นพระเจ้า Jesus is God. วันนี้ขอให้พระวิญญาณบริสุทธิ์สถิตอยู่ในวิญญาณของเรา Today let the Holy Spirit be within our spirit. So you need the language so you can speak the Holy Spirit's language, all right? And edify yourself. The more you speak,In tongues, the stronger your spirit will be. So I want to appeal to all of us today to be spiritually connected, mirroring the reality of heaven here on earth. The world is crying out for authenticity. Be real. Change the world with the love of Jesus, all right? And your action will determine your destiny. Can I have a slide? Your action will determine your destiny.So today, what you will do or will not do will change your whole destiny. All right? And I want to encourage all of us. Go out there and do something, all right? Actually, I started at what I call above 55 volunteerism. All right? I want to encourage everybody who is above. How many of you are above 55 here? May I see a show of hand? Wow, more than half. All right? I started at above 55 volunteerism. Holy Spirit told me,Tell people not to retire. Tell them to refire. Alright? Don't retire. Refire for God's kingdom. I was so blessed when I see Douglas out here, you know. He's still refiring for the God's kingdom. So don't stop, alright? We only stop when God tells us, like Moses, go up the mountain, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, refire for God's kingdom. And your action will change the destiny of your children and your children's children.All right. We went to Thailand and today our children, my son is in Thailand, my daughter is in Australia serving and both of them are serving the Lord. They go to the nations like their parents. So your action will determine your destiny. And I want to share with you a blessing that you can use. I found this in a book called Blessing Your Spirit. I call your spirit to attention to lead your soul and your body, and I call your spirit to align with the purpose of Jesus for your life today. Every day, call your spirit. I call my spirit to attention every day. All right? Yeah, days are, yeah, I'm so tired. Yesterday I stood for don't know how many hours. You know, I call my spirit to attention that my spirit will lead my soul and my body, and not my body leads. Sometimes you get hungry and you get angry, right?So that's what the hungry man is an angry man. Because the body and the soul are leading. All right? But let your spirit lead. Call your spirit to attention this morning. And your evening blessing, you can speak to your spouse every day. Help each other. Bless each other. Bless your children. You say, I call your spirit to attention to lead your soul and your body so that you may receive all the rest and revelation the Holy Spirit brings to you through the night. Right? My husband and I do this for each other every night, all right? We bless each other's spirit because as you sleep, the Lord will bring you great revelation. And finally, I want to encourage all of us, renew your spirit day by day, right? We all try to use all the special cream, you know, to look nice to our body. But the Bible tells us that not to lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day.All right. So never mind the outer man. No matter how hard you work, maybe you can slow down the process a bit. But our spirit is being renewed day by day. And our spirit is that part of us that will meet Jesus face to face one day. And I want to encourage all of us today to get connected. All right. I have a phone here. Very often when I come to Singapore, I have problem charging my phone because I'm not used to the Singapore plug anymore. Okay. In Thailand, we plug in.And the power goes straight. But now, in Singapore, I plug in this morning, I wake up, phone dead. Why? I forgot to turn on the switch. We don't have a switch in Thailand. All right? So, whatever, you know, formation we have done in our life, we come to church, we go to cell, we do all the wonderful things, but turn on the power. And I want to encourage all of us, if you speak in tongues,
Speak in tongues every day, alright? Day and night, 24/7, as much as you can. And if you have never heard about the gift of tongues, I want to invite you today to come and receive. And if you already have the gift of tongues, you may come and ask God for a new tongue, alright? And if you're right here, we're going to sing our final songs, and you hear the Holy Spirit telling you to come forward, don't let your soul take over, right, and say, "Yeah, so embarrassing. I think it's time to go already because my friends are waiting for me." You know, don't let your soul take over. Follow your spirit, all right, and make your soul and your body follow the Holy Spirit. Follow your human spirit and your Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. So basically, I'm trying to tell us today to train our spirit to listen to the Holy Spirit. Train your soul to listen to your human spirit, and train your body to submit. And as we flow, then we will be able to renew our inner man day by day. All right, let's sing our final song together. I'd like to invite many of you have heard from the Holy Spirit to come forward. There's nothing special up here except the Holy Spirit is here. He's inviting you to come for a special touch from God. He wants to touch you. He has something here for you. When I was young, I usually be the only person in front of the altar because nobody else comes. But Holy Spirit tell me, you go. Holy Spirit tell me to go, I go. Train your spirit. Listen to your spirit today. The Holy Spirit is saying, come, come. And I'm sure the ministry team here will be more than glad to pray with you. If you already speak in tongues, start speaking in tongues. Just continue speaking in tongues. Connect with the Lord. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Many of you are hearing from God. Many of you have been in the ministry. Many of you have hearts that are running after Jesus. And God wants you to get reconnected. He wants the fire to come again, for you to be refired into His kingdom's purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Kiramashida. I hear the Lord saying that amongst you, there are many of you who have heard from God, and you feel as though your days are over. It's too late. No, it's not too late. God is saying, I still have a plan for you. I still know how to use you. Come, come. Let me use you. Let me teach you. Let me lead you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come. Whether you are still in your seat or you're up here, begin to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Kirama shandara lalaba shandariya matirian tarala lalabake karabaka shikadara lalabaka shundara lalabaka sudurian tirian tarala lalabake. Hallelujah. Some of you have important decisions that you have to make. You have been struggling because your soul is taking over. Listen to the Holy Spirit. In fact, you have heard the Holy Spirit so often, and you know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let your spirit respond to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are still struggling in your seat. Hey, I want to go out there, but I'm not used to this. Just come. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God that He has something new for you. This is the day to get reactivated for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we celebrate your presence within each one of us today. We truly want to connect with you. Please teach us your way and teach us all things that you have promised to teach us. Come and fill us, mold us, change us, empower and strengthen us. God, do a new thing in us, Lord. You know our hearts, God. You know our desire to walk with you. You know we are hungry, God. Come and fill us again, Lord. Renew us day by day. Renew us day by day. And may your kingdom's purpose be fulfilled in our life. Help us, God, to align our spirit, soul, and body in order that we will fulfill our kingdom's destiny. We thank you that you are a promise keeper and you will help us, Lord. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. I want to invite all of you, listen to Holy Spirit as you walk out. Please visit and have a candy with us at our booth. Ask the Holy Spirit how much you should give or what you can do to help. And may your spirit lead your soul and your body to align with God's destiny for you. God's blessing.